morning. How's everybody doing today? Glory to God. How many know God is good? You know what? I'm thankful for 2017. And I'm thankful for 2018. 2017 had some good things, but God's got better things for us. How many know God's into new things? He's into better, right? He's into good stuff. That's why he says, go and preach the good news. What is good news? For someone who doesn't know Christ, good news is, man, you can have Jesus in your life and that makes all the difference in the world, right? How many know we all go through stuff? But if I'm going to go through something, I'd rather go through it with Jesus right there to help me, because he says he is an ever-present help in a time of trouble. Amen. Glory to God. But 2018 is going to be a great year. 2018 is just going to, I'm excited about it, man. It's just going to be phenomenal. I know we say that every year, but you know what? Guess what? Every year I'm believing for the next year to be even better and better. I would much rather believe for something big and come a little short of it than to never believe for anything at all. Amen. So let's just dare to believe God for awesome stuff for ourselves and for people around us and for our church and for our city here in 2018. Amen. Glory to God. Well, let's pray and we'll get right into this word. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you. We love you. We thank you for your faithfulness, God. We thank you for what you're doing in our hearts today, God. We just surrender ourselves to you. We say, Lord, here's my heart, Father God. Do as you please with it, Father God, because you're a good Father, so I know that I can trust you. Father, and I just bless you, thank you, and I just love you. And Father, I thank you for your anointing upon these lips of clay. Help me to speak your word uncompromised, unhindered by any outside force, but it would land on each and every heart, custom fit. Father, you have an amazing word for us today, and we just open our hearts and we say, load us up in Jesus' name. We bless you, we love you, we thank you for your faithfulness and for your presence in this place, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, hallelujah. Well, God is good, and he's got good stuff for us. Amen. I know that some of us may have come from some of those old religions where it is kind of it's almost like God's up there with a sledgehammer just waiting for you to make a mistake, ready to bonk you. You know, it's like those little, you go to the fair and you play those at the carnivals and you play those bopper machines, a little mole that pops up. You're always trying to hit it. Well, that's not God. Some religions make you think that God's just trying, he's just waiting for you to poke up, waiting for you to start to rise up, and he's going to slam you back down. But that ain't God. You're thinking about the wrong God. You're talking about the God of this world. That's what the devil does. In fact, the way the devil works is he tries to make you think that he's going to raise you up, and as soon as he starts raising you down, he starts squashing you back down. That's not God. God's always into raising you up, right? He's always into trying to help you to be better and help you to accomplish things in life. It says to meditate. Joshua 1:8 tells us to meditate day and night upon the scriptures continually. Then our way will be made prosperous. Then our way will be made successful. Amen. Isn't that good news? Why don't you guys act like that's good news? Come on. Isn't that good news? Glory to God. Come on. There's no scripture in the Bible where it says it's a sin not to clap in church. It's okay. Right? Hallelujah. Because it's good news. I always clap at good news. I like good news. Good news is good news. Did you know that? That's deep and profound. But good news is good news. Amen. Hallelujah. I came to have a good time. I don't know about you, but I'm going to have a great time this morning. So hopefully you jump on my wagon and ride along with me. It's going to be great. Amen. All right. Let me get my... There we go. Okay. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. We've been talking the last couple of weeks on joy, and unstoppable force. The unstoppable force of joy. Joy is an amazing gift from God. I mean, I am so thankful. And it's not just a spiritual gift where he gives to those as he chooses. But no, joy is something for every believer. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, what is the joy of the Lord? The joy of the Lord is that joy that the Lord puts on the inside of us, that we can be in a good mood in the worst of situations. Did you know that? You can be in the good mood in the worst of situations. Now, the world don't have that. Remember what Jesus said? He says, my peace I leave you, not the peace that the world has, but my peace. What is he saying? The world's kind of peace and the world's kind of joy is it's based on circumstances. If everything's right, if everything's going good, everybody's treating me right, everybody's talking to me right, all my ducks are in a row, everything's just, I mean, everything's, my universe is perfectly balanced, right? then everything's great and I can feel joy and I can be happy. But if somebody goes and moves one little rock, or if somebody goes and does one thing, if somebody says something to me that I don't like, then all of a sudden now I don't have no peace, I don't have no joy. See, that's the way the world has to live. But if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, you can have a joy that says, even in the midst of struggle, the Bible says that famine and destruction, God laughs. Not because he thinks it's funny, because he knows the devil's not, God is way, you do understand, I know some of you heard me say this before, but for just make sure everybody knows this, you do understand that God and the devil are not absolute equal opposites. You know what I mean? It's not like, well, you put them both on a scale and okay, well, God's really good. Woo-hoo! He, man, he's just got it out way because God's so good. Then the devil jumped on the scale because of all his badness. It's not like he just brings it up to equal. No. God could be on the scale and the devil could jump on the scale and that scale wouldn't move because God's goodness always outweighs the devil's badness. Amen. They are not equal opposites. In fact, they're not even equals. God is God. Right? In fact, Satan was created by God. But he wasn't created to be who he is now. God didn't create him to be. The Bible actually tells us over in Isaiah that God created the destroyer. But he didn't create him as a destroyer. He created him. He's a created being. Satan is just a fallen angel. Did you know that? He's just a fallen angel, so he's a created being. So they are not equal opposites. God's goodness is always way better than the devil's badness, right? That's why light dispels darkness. You can fill this room with absolute darkness. We could black out every window. We could take away every source of light in this room and make this thing so black that you couldn't see the hand in front of your face. And someone over in a tiny little corner, one of those little kids, well, I wouldn't recommend this, but one of those little kids come out and maybe they turn on a little light or maybe they strike a little match. One speck of light, and what happens to darkness? And the more light comes in the room, have anybody ever turned on some darkness? You go into a lighted room and where's the darkness switch? You don't say where's the darkness switch, you say where's the light switch, right? You can't turn darkness on. Darkness is there because it is an absence of lightness, right? There's an absence of light. But Jesus says, you are the light of the world. So that tells me that wherever I am, I don't care how dark it seems, there is light there because I'm there. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God, because God is always greater than the enemy. Now, I don't know how I got off on that, but that is not even what I came to preach on. But that must have been for somebody. Hallelujah. All right, but we have been talking about joy. Joy is that supernatural ability on the inside. That's what we're talking about. As the world looks at things, and if everything's balanced right, then everything's good. But I don't have to have everything right. All the kids on the bus don't have to be in good moods for me to be in a good mood. Right? All the everything going on around me, the traffic that I'm driving in, they don't all have to do everything perfectly for me to still be in a good mood. Now, I may not like what they're doing. But that's often the case. I may not like what the traffic's doing. Either it's getting in front of me and slowing way down or cutting me off. Or I may not like it, but I don't have to lose my joy over it. Right? And we talked about that last week, how the Apostle Paul, man, he went through all kinds of crazy stuff, but he never lost his joy over it. Amen? Glory to God. In fact, you think about it. We've talked about this before over in Corinthians when it starts talking about all the stuff that Paul's went through. He was stoned so many times, left for dead, shipwrecked twice, out in the sea for 2 weeks, bobbing like a fish bobber in the ocean until he finally reached land. 2 weeks, right? Going through all the stuff he's been through, stoned, ran out of town, beaten, all these things that have happened to him. And a little bit later in the scriptures, you'll read where Paul says, yeah, those things were a light affliction. A light affliction. Paul, have you read what you've gone through? Maybe you got your head struck and you forgot what you've gone through. You call that a light affliction? He goes, why can he say that? Because he never lost his joy. Even in the midst of it all. Remember we read this, I think it might have been last week, we read where Paul, he's going through these things. right? And then he's going through all this stuff, but then all of a sudden he says, you know, we actually thought we were going to die. In fact, we thought we were going to die. But then I remembered my God. I knew that he would deliver me now, and he always will deliver me. Why was he able to say that in the midst of all the stuff he faced? Because he had joy. That unstoppable force. The world don't have that. Only people who have accepted Jesus Christ have that supernatural ability. But see, we've got to step up and walk in that, don't we? Do you believe that we have a part to play? God's already done his part. Everybody's like, well, I'm just waiting for God. No, you're not. You got it wrong. You're not waiting for God. God's waiting for you. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you to say, hey, this is my stuff. This belongs to me. I receive it. I take hold of it in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, I want you to look at this group of people in Hebrews chapter 10, because this is just like mind-boggling what we're about to read. This is awesome. And I want you to see how joy works. Now watch this. It says in verse 32, John chapter 10, verse 32. It says, think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ, when you first accepted Christ, right? Think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember? It's kind of like he's having this conversation with you, right? Say, think back on that. Remember? Do you remember how you remained faithful even though it meant terrible suffering? Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten, and sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same things. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail, and when all you owned was taken from you, listen to this, you ready? You accepted it with joy. No, that wasn't, they were just going, I didn't really like that stuff anyway, anybody can have that. That's not what they were saying. But they refused to lose their joy. Why? Because they knew, what does it go on to say? It goes on to say this. It says, let me find it. There it is. Okay. It says, for you knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. You know, and I told you about that little book, and I think, man, I should buy a stock of those and put them here for people just to get and read. But it's a little bitty book by Jerry Savelle. I read it years ago, and I've still got it. And it says this, if the devil can't steal your joy, he cannot keep your goods. And he tells this story in this little book. I was just reading it the other day, and it was so awesome. It reminded me of it. But he tells a story about him and his wife. They had built a house, but there was this one house in this particular location. They're down in Texas, and they built this one house, and they lived in it. But they saw this. There's this one house that his wife had always wanted, and it was kind of a fixer-upper. It was like a kind of rough-looking house. It needed a lot of work, but they loved it because of the piece of land that it had. It had a lot of trees, and that's one of the three reasons they wanted to buy it, for the trees. And so they sold their new home and bought this fixer-upper house, and it was really classical or whatever, and she just wanted to restore it. And so they bought this old house, and they started working on it, But one of the reasons they bought it was for the trees. And so they began to notice that the trees were starting to die. And they're like, oh, we better get somebody to look at it. So they called a tree person out. They came out and they looked at it and said, yeah, you got like five different tree-killing bugs eating at your trees. You really need to get that taken care of. Well, how much is that going to be? Oh, it's going to be $500. They talk back and forth. Okay, let's go ahead and do it. So because they bought it for the trees. So they wanted to save the trees. So they paid the guy $500, came out, took care of the trees, got all that done. And while he was out there, he said, well, while I was treating your trees, I noticed that, man, these trees have been unkept for so long, you really need to get your trees trimmed. And he says, okay, well, how much would you charge for the trees to be trimmed? They said $3,000. He's like, $3,000 to trim trees? And so they got to talking, and Jerry told his wife, he says, hon, listen, I know we need to get those trees trimmed, but there's a lot of other things we really need to spend on this house for $3,000, not trees. So they decided, we'll wait. We're not going to do it right now. So they went out. He went out, told the guy, he says, okay, we talked about it. We are not going to have the trees trimmed right now. I'll call you when we decide to have the trees trimmed. Now, they had signed a contract for the $500 deal for get rid of the bugs, right? But they didn't sign a contract for this. Anyway, so they told him that and went on. And he says, okay, and went left. They just, you know, about a week later, they went to Florida for a week for vacation, for family vacation. Well, when they get back from Florida, they pull into their house in Texas, and there's all these tree trucks in their yard. And so again, he says, well, what's going on? He says, oh, we're trimming your trees. He goes, whoa. I didn't tell you to trim my trees. He goes, yeah, you told me to come and trim your trees. He says, no, I told you I did not want my trees trimmed. I signed a contract for the other. I didn't sign a contract for this one. Get your guys out of my trees. Right? And so the guy says, well, we've already done $3,000 worth of work. You need to pay us for the work. And he says, I didn't sign a contract, and I'm not paying you nothing. Get you guys out of my trees. And he began to walk in the house. And as he's walking in the house, the Lord began to speak to him. He says, you're going to lose your joy over this? And he goes, but Lord, I didn't tell him to do this. He says, are you going to lose your joy over this? And so he's sitting there thinking, he said, well, what should I do? He says, I want you to walk in love. And he goes, well, Lord, what do you mean? What do you want? What does that mean? What do you want? What do you mean you want me to walk in love? I'm not slapping the guy. Isn't that walking in love, but just not slapping him? You know? And he says, I want you to pay him. Pay him how much? He said, I want you to pay him the $3,000. And he goes, Lord, I didn't tell him to do it. And he says, are you going to walk in love or not? I told you I want you to do it. Are you going to do it? So he goes in the house and he's talking to his wife, Caroline. I'm not really sure what we're going to do here. She goes, I'm not sure what you're thinking, but I was just sitting here praying and the Lord told me to pay him. And he looked at her and goes, oh, you too, huh? And so he goes, okay, fine, I'll pay him. And so he gave me the checkbook. So he's sitting there, he's writing out the check. And I mean, he is mad. I mean, can you just imagine, right? A $3,000 bill that you said you did not want done, and now the Lord's saying pay it. And he's writing this check out, and he's got an attitude, and the Lord spoke to him while he's writing out the check, and he says, do you want to get this money back? He goes, well, Lord, I would love to get this. He says, then you need to change your attitude right now. And he knew enough about joy to go, okay, I cannot lose my joy over this. So he changed his attitude immediately, and wrote that check, and went out there and was very gracious to the man, and said, okay, you know what? Here's the $3,000. Thank you for what you've done. But that's all we want done for right now. Very gracious. Just let it go. I mean, everybody's, half of you are looking at me like, that ain't what I ought have said to him. You know, but he went out there and just wrote in the check. And so some of us can sit here and think, wow, man, I just couldn't have done that. But listen to the rest of the story. And, of course, he didn't know this was going to happen. He just trusted God. He did what God told him to do, trusting God to restore it. And there's a scripture in the Bible that says, if the thief be caught, he must return sevenfold what he has stolen. All right? And so he began to claim that scripture. Anyway, about a week or so later, this gentleman calls him up and says, hey, Brother Jerry, I'm going to be flying into Fort Worth. And that's about where they live in that area. And he says, the Lord spoke to me spoke to me and my wife to do something. That's all he said. The Lord has spoke to us about doing something. I want to talk to you about it. I would love to have breakfast with you in the morning. He says, well, yeah, okay, I'll have breakfast with you. Next morning, he got up, went and had breakfast with this gentleman. This gentleman says, yeah, he says, I'm glad you came because the Lord told us, didn't tell us all the details, but just said something about that the enemy had stolen $3,000 from you guys. And the Lord wants us to repay it sevenfold. Slid him an envelope across the table. He opened it up, and there was $21,000 in the envelope, cash. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me God can't restore, right? But how did it happen? Because he refused to lose his joy. See, we can't lose our joy over the things that are happening right here in our face because why did they not lose their joy? It says here in verse 34, you suffered along with those who were thrown into jail, and when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. They weren't going, oh, well, you know, I didn't really care about that anyway. No, they accepted it with joy. They knew that God has a way of getting it back to them. And it says here, you knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. Verse 35 says, so do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward. Everybody say great reward. It says, remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now. Everybody, you've heard me talk about patience, right? Patience is not just waiting. Patience is your attitude while you wait. And see, their attitude while they were waiting was they took joyfully the spoiling of their goods. They didn't enjoy having their goods stolen from them, but they kept their attitude right, and they kept rejoicing in God, knowing that God can bring it back. God can give it back, and he can give it back many times over, right? And so it says here that it says, so patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. How many know God's word promises a lot of good stuff? But did you hear what it said? It says patient endurance is what you need now. You know, waiting with a great attitude and a trusting attitude in God is what you need now, right? So that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive the promise. When do you receive the promise? After you continue to do the will of God. After you continue to walk in joy. After you continue to trust God. Then all these promises will come back to you. Amen? Hallelujah. Go with me to James chapter 1. We looked at this verse last week, but I want to look a little bit deeper into it. I just kind of read just one verse on it and as we were closing. But I want to look at this again because there's a lot of good stuff here. But what I'm talking to you today about is how joy is developed in you. I mean, you know, it's one thing to know the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's also one thing to know that we're, you know, God wants us to have joy and all that. But it's a different thing when you begin to figure out how is that joy developed in me. Amen. And of course, we looked at the scripture where it says that in his presence is fullness of joy. But God has that supernatural ability, that power that only he can give, that he puts on the inside of every believer so that we can stand in the face of adversity and still smile. Amen. This right here will help. This right here can help you in a relationship, man. I mean, me and Heather have used it countless times. Well, we've got, you know, we used to, you know, yell it up pretty good. I mean, you know, our first 6 years of marriage was pretty rough, and you know, and there was a couple of close, you know, walkout times there, you know. But we made a decision to trust God, and we started developing this joy on the inside. And so just because one person's angry don't mean that we have to respond to that anger with anger, right? It is not fight fire with fire. In fact, the Bible says that love covers a multitude of mistakes. Amen? We just continue to love, continue to love, continue to love. But look at this verse here in James chapter 2. It says, dear brothers and sisters, when, and I pointed out last week, that it's when troubles come, not if troubles come. Isn't that encouraging? That's just what you came to hear today, is that troubles are going to come, isn't it? That is why I came today, just so I could hear that troubles are going to come. No, I don't think you had to come here to hear today to hear that, because you already know. The Bible says that it rains on the just and on the unjust. I mean, everybody faces stuff, right? But he says here, he says, so, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. When your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So, let it grow. Right? But where a lot of people mess up is they're trying to, you know, do what they know to do is right. But then when something comes and the pressures come, we begin to look immediately for ways to get away from the pressure. Right? We're just looking for an escape from the pressure. Instead of taking what the enemy is meaning for bad in your life and using it to develop yourself for God. Oh, but it got real quiet right there. Okay. All right, I'm talking to the right bunch then. All right, here we go. All right. So he says right here, he says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. Why? For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be complete. That word perfect. Now, let me help some of you. The word perfect in the Bible does not mean flawless. I know we look at a little baby that is born and go, oh, it is so perfect. But if you really look really closely at that baby, one leg might be a little bit longer than the other, or one toe might be a little bit bigger than the matching toe on the other side. Or does everybody understand that your left foot and your right foot, they are not identical sizes? You ever notice that trying on shoes? It's like, man, it's, these shoes, but this foot feels a little tighter than this foot. It's because one foot, everybody has it. That one foot is a little bit bigger. In other words, that baby, that little innocent, sweet little innocent baby, it's not flawless, but it's completely beautiful, right? And so the word perfect in the Bible does not mean flawless. It means complete, brought to full maturity. And so let's read that, understanding that. It says, so let it grow, let your endurance grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, that's another way of saying perfect, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Isn't that awesome? You will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. All right? Now let's read verse 5 through 8, and I'm going to point out a particular verse there because we need to see this, because this is going to really help you in your growth. Right? Verse 5 says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. He wants you to have wisdom. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in him alone. Right? And do not waver, for a person who has divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Listen to verse 7. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Why? Verse 8 says, their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. So what that communicates to me is I really want to look to the Word of God. I don't want to try to one leg in the world, one leg in the Bible. Okay, now which one am I going to honor today? Am I going to go with the way of the world today? Because how many know the world's wisdom is different than the wisdom of God? I mean, God can have you do things, it don't even seem like it makes sense. But let me tell you something, if you'll do it, it don't make sense. It makes faith, though. It may not make sense, but it will make faith, and that's the way we need to follow the Lord. Amen. All right. So he says here. He says, but such people should not expect to receive anything. You can't toss back and forth between, am I going to do what God wants? Am I going to do what I want? Am I going to do what God wants? Or am I going to do what the world wants me to do? Doing that, you're unstable. You're unstable. And the Bible says you shouldn't expect that you're going to receive anything. But God tells us that if we can trust him, that we can ask whatsoever we will, and he will give us everything from the Father. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? Glory to God. Go with me to Psalms chapter 5. It'll be up on the screen if you don't have your Bibles with you. But Psalms chapter 5. Hallelujah. Psalms chapter 5. Let me get over there myself. I didn't go far enough. Is this helping anybody? Hallelujah. All right. I mean, I'm excited about the life of joy, man, because it doesn't, no matter what I'm facing, I don't have to lose my joy over it. Why? Because the thing that helps me to keep my joy is because I trust God. It's like, okay, well, God's got this, so there's no really reason for me to get worked up about it. I mean, rather it be a sickness or rather it be shortage of finances or rather it be turmoil within a relationship. It's like, okay, I'm not going to get freaked out by this because God's got it. I don't have to worry about all this stuff, right? The Bible tells us, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, that the peace of God that passes all understanding would envelop your heart and keep it, right? And whatsoever things is honest, just, pure, virtuous, praiseworthy, lovely, think on these things. So the Message Bible says that verse, that last verse this way, think on the best things, not the worst things. Amen? All right, I like that. Think on the best things, not the worst things. All right, Psalm chapter 5, and in the New King James, it says this, But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you, talking about God, let them ever shout for joy. Let them ever shout for joy. Amen. Did you know it's okay to shout? The Bible says, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Paul said, rejoice. And again I say, rejoice. Amen. We're not moved by these things that are around us. The Bible tells us in Psalm 91, though a thousand fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, not a single one of those things are going to come near me. Amen. I rejoice in him. He is faithful. He is good. But it says here in verse 11, but let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy. Why? Because you defend them. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. Watch this. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. And with favor, you will surround them as with a shield. How many could use the favor of God? How many could use some favor in your life? Amen. Hallelujah. And it says right here that God does that. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. I mean, no, if you've accepted Jesus in Christ in your heart, you are the righteous. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, I think in verse 21, it says that Jesus became sin for us so that we could become the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, we're not righteous because of the good things we do. We're righteous because Jesus has already shed his blood, died on the cross for you, breathed his last breath for you, and was raised back from the dead by the power of God. That's why we're righteous. It's because of what he's done, not us. So that, knowing that, carrying that over into Psalm chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, "For you, O God, will bless the righteous." Everybody say, "That's me." See, if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, that's you. And if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, if I wasn't saved, you know what I would do? I'd get saved. I'd get saved, man. Just hearing that right there, that's like, okay, that don't work for me. All I got to accept you. Oh, Jesus, would you please come into my life, Lord? Be the Lord of my life, because I want to be the righteous, amen. Because the Bible says right here that he blesses the consistently righteous and surrounds them with favor. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will surround them as with a shield, amen. Isn't that good? Glory to God. Go with me to Luke chapter 8. Oh, my goodness, yes. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. I want you to see something, though. This is going to really help you because I'm going to beat the devil to the punch. I'm going to beat the devil to, because I can tell you exactly what's going to happen. If I stopped right now, every one of us would leave. We go, PK, great word, love it, that's awesome. But then we're going to go out here, and if you're not careful, the enemy's going to come, and he's going to try to steal this word right out of your heart. And you're going to see why here in just a moment. But over here in Luke chapter 8, and I'm reading now the New Living Translation, it says this in verse 11. It says, and then this right here is the parable of the sower. And it says that a sower went out and sowed some seed, some on this path, some on that path, and this path, and that path, and all that. I'm not going to read all that. I'm just going to read the meaning of the parable. How many know that's the part we need, is the meaning of the parable? You can go back and earlier in that chapter, and you can read the beginning of the parable if you want to. But this is what Jesus says it means. And chapter 8, in verse 11, it says, "And this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is God's word. The seeds that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message," listen to this, "only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved." But I want because this is not just talking about people who need salvation. This is talking about for any of us, right? You hear a word from God. Maybe you listen online, or you're watching on TV, or you come to an amazing church like the Difference Church. You hear an amazing speaker like, you know, maybe PK, and you know, and I'm just kidding. Listen, but you come and you hear an amazing word from God, like this one. That I'm not kidding about. This is an amazing word. Okay, so you come and you hear a good word. But then you leave, and then the enemy, what he wants to do is come immediately to steal that word out of your heart. Why? Because he wants to prevent you from believing that word. Because if you get to the place where you believe that word, that's when it really begins to work for you. And he don't want that happening. Because once you begin to see it working for you, well, if it's working, who's going to want to let it go? Right? So he wants to steal the word out of your heart before it even begins to work. So how does he do that? He begins to bring things to test that word. Watch this. All right. So this is the meaning of the parable. The seeds that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. Verse 13, the seeds on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy. Man, they're excited about this word, like you guys. Woohoo, this is a good word. Hallelujah. Right? Kind of having to prod you a little bit. Come on, help me out here. Okay. All right. So the seeds on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they believe it for a while and then fall away when they face temptation. Now, that word temptation, I looked it up, and I drew a line way at the top of my Bible, and I wrote it. That word temptation means testing. So the enemy, so you hear a good word, and the enemy wants to come and bring circumstances to begin to test that. But because you don't meditate on this word, because you don't ponder this, you don't think about it, you don't let it really get down deep into your heart, it's just like those weeds. You know, anybody ever like put down weed screen to block the weeds? Right? And then you put bark mulch on top of it, right? And it's looking all beautiful. And then a week or so later you come back and there's a weed. It's like, wait a minute. I put you down there to keep that from happening. But then you go and you go to pull it and you realize, oh, it's not coming from under the screen. It's on top of the screen. Because there wasn't deep soil, there is no deep roots. So that weed, you can simply reach over with two little fingers and without exerting hardly any energy, just pull it up. Why? Because there's no deep roots. Now, if you was to reach over to the tree next to the weed and grab it and try to pull it up, you're not going to make very much progress, right? Why? Because there are deep roots in with that tree. And see, what we've got to do is we've got to meditate and ponder this word enough to let it get deep down into our heart where we are rooted in this principle, right? And once we become rooted in it, then the enemy can't just bring some strong wind or strong circumstance or some frustration or some pressure come along and then uproot the promises of God out of your life, because no, now you've taken time to meditate and dwell on this word so that it becomes deeply rooted. Now, there's a group down here that did that, and I want you to see the result. All right? So it says here in verse 13, the seeds that fell on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they believe the word for a while, but then they fall away and when they face testing or temptation, right? Verse 14 says, the seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and the pleasures of this life, and so they never grow into maturity. See, we got to stop letting the word come and steal the words out of our heart that we're hearing. Rather it be here from me or Pastor Heather or whoever we have speaking, or if it's some wonderful teacher online or on TV, or reading your word, whatever the Lord gives you a word, shows you, point something out in the scriptures, whatever. But we got to quit allowing those things, because the enemy's going to come. He's going to come. Can I just tell you, he is going to come. Don't come at me and say, don't be speaking that negative confession over me. Sit down. Be quiet and listen to what I'm saying, because I'm telling you, the devil is going to come. And that's okay. I say, bring it, baby. Why? Because I'm going to get this word in my heart and I refuse to allow the enemy to steal it from me. He's going to come and he's going to try to steal the word. And I want you to know that, because he's going to try to do that today with you. You hear this word, he's going to come. And it doesn't matter if it's just this word. Well, then just don't teach on joy anymore and I ain't got to deal with it. No, it doesn't matter what word you hear. When God brings a word to you through a minister, an anointed minister, and this word is ministering to you and it's speaking to your life, the enemy's going to come and he's going to try to steal that word from you because he don't want it taking root. But that's when you say, devil, shut up, get out. I'm going to meditate on this word. I'm going to ponder on this word. I'm going to get this word deeply rooted into my heart, and I am going to whip your butt with this word. Amen. Hey, man, that's a good place to get excited right there. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now go with me to Isaiah chapter 55. Knowing that, go with me to Isaiah 55, because I got good news for you. This is going to be good. As if what I've already said wasn't good news, and it is. But watch this. This is so good. Hallelujah. I'm fixing to show you how joy is developed in you. And then I'm going to be an amazing teacher and I'm going to give you some homework assignment. Everybody say, I love homework. Okay, come on. This is going to be good homework because this is going to set you free. This is going to help you. It's going to help you to grow and develop. And man, it's going to be good. And it's going to, the end result, it's going to produce joy in your life. Now look at this, Isaiah chapter 55, and I'm almost done. Then I'll give you your homework and then we'll be done, okay? All right, so here we go. How many know church is not about just coming, hearing a word, and leaving and checking your punch card? Or you're punching your church card or whatever it is I'm trying to say, right? Come on, no, we come to learn, to grow, and execute. Learn, grow, and execute. Come on. And growing happens in the execution. Amen? Amen? Come on. All right, so look at this. It says in Isaiah 55, starting in verse 10. Oh, what the heck. We'll back up to verse 8. That's so good. I'll go ahead and add that in there. Okay. Sorry about that, James. Okay. Isaiah 55, verse 8. Listen to this. And I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. It says this. It says, my thoughts, this is God speaking. He says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. Therefore, that's why I know it's God speaking, because it says this, says the Lord. Okay. And he says, listen to this. He says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. Right? For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Now, he wasn't saying that going, nah, 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 I'm smarter than you are. Right? That's not what he was doing. He's saying, hey, come on. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. Come up here and think the way I think. All right? Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so are they. As a person, okay, for any gender-sensitive people here, okay, for whatsoever a person thinks in their heart, so are they. So we need to change our thoughts, change the way we think, right? Got to renew our mind. The Bible tells us over in Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world's way of thinking, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove to the world what is the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Amen. So he says here in verse 8, he says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. And for just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Now, with that said, listen to this. Because God's letting you know, I'm smart. I'm wise. I got it going on. The T-shirt, the bag of chips, and everything else that you could even come up with to imagine. God's saying, I'm smart. I've got this. But listen to what he says. So my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Verse 10. The rain and the snow, they come down from the heavens. How many know that's true? Rain and the snow, we see a lot of rain here. This scripture should speak to us here in Albany. Right? We get a lot of rain, right? The rain comes down, and we get some snow, but we're surrounded by snow. So watch this. The rain and the snow, they come down from the heavens, and they stay on the ground to water the earth. What do? They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. Listen to this. I love this scripture. It is the same with my word. What's the same? He says the rain and the snow, they come down from the heavens and stay on the ground and water the earth. And because they come to the ground and stay on the earth, they cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out. I send out what? Rain and snow? No, I send out my word. Did you catch that? I send out my word. Right? We're sending out a lot of things out of our mouth, but most often it's not been the word. Right? So I send it out. It is the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. The New King James says, and it does not return to me void. In other words, it is not empty and it is not fruitless. God doesn't, he's not sending out his word and it doing nothing. No, God is, no, no. Right? He says, it is the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all that I want it to do. And it will prosper everywhere that I send it. But how did he send it? He sent out his word. How do we send out the word? By releasing it out of our mouth. Come on. Okay. All right, so it will accomplish all that I want it to, and it will prosper. He didn't, there's no maybe, there's no, it might prosper, it might accomplish. No, he says, it is the same with my word. I will send it out. It will always produce fruit. It will accomplish all that I want it to. And it will prosper everywhere I send it. That is profound to me. That is awesome. Because God just told us how we can do the same thing. He says, it's just, the rain and snow, they come down, they do what they're supposed to do. It's the same way with my word. I send out my word and it will accomplish what I send it to do. It will prosper in everything that I send it to do. And then over in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus says, have faith in God. In other words, have the same kind of faith God's got. What kind of faith has God got? Well, you go back to Genesis chapter 1, you see what kind of faith God's got. How did God do anything with his faith? And God said, and it was so. And God said, and it came to pass. And God said, and it came into being. And God said, and God said, and God said, and God. He didn't call some construction crew. He didn't call earth movers. He didn't call all that. He spoke to it, and it became what he said. And it was all said and done. He steps back and looks, and he goes, wow, that is very good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he tells us how we can get joy. We send the word out. And it will accomplish what we sent it to do. Right? Because God told us to function the same way he functions. So we release his word with our mouth. And it begins to shape and make things and brings them back. Remember, it will not come back void. It will not come back fruitless and unsuccessful. It will accomplish what we sent it to do. And it will prosper in the thing for which it was sent to do. Amen? Now I want you to see this. One more verse. Two more verses right here together, and then I'm done. And then I'll give you your assignment. Okay, watch this. Now notice, he says, rain and snow, it's the same with my word in verse 11. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. Now watch verse 12. What does it say? You will live in joy and peace. See, but we want to start with verse 12. PK, why don't you just start with verse 12? That's what I wanted to hear. Because if you don't do verse 11, verse 12 will never manifest. Do you see that? Do you catch that? Right? We've got to send out the word. And then as we send it out, because we're not sending out just any word, we're sending out the word of God. I'm going to give you some scriptures today you can start meditating on, pondering. I did this Wednesday night as well. I'm going to give you some scriptures that you can meditate on, ponder, take one a day, and begin to just meditate on that scripture all day long. Right? Put it somewhere, post it, put it on a post-it note, stick it wherever you need to stick it so you remember what it says, and so you can read it and remind yourself and renew your mind to the word of God. Right? Getting your heart established on the word of God. Right? And then as you're sending out this word, it will accomplish what we're sending it to do. Now look at this. He says, and you will live in joy. Because you're sending out the word, you will live in joy and peace. Listen to this. The mountains and the hills will burst into song. The trees of the field will clap their hands. What is that saying? That just says that creation recognizes the word of God and rejoices in the word of God. But look at verse 13. Come on. All right. Three things here. Number one, we've got to send out the word. Number two, you will live in joy and peace as you do that. As you continue to do that, you will live in joy and peace. And number three, watch this. Where once there were thorns. Anybody have had some hard, sticky situations in your life? Some painful, sticky situations in your life? Because you're sending out the word, you will live in joy and peace. Look at this. Where once there were thorns, cypress trees will grow. So instead of have thorny situations, you're going to have trees growing and flourishing around you and bringing shade into your life, right? Bringing relief and bringing blessing and comfort into your life. Look at the next one. Where nettles grow, nettles are briars. I looked it up. Where nettles grow, or briars grow, myrtles will sprout up. So in other words, God's saying, come on, I'm telling you how. First of all, I'm telling you that I'm smart, right? He says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. Come on. But he's saying, but look at this. He says, as the rain and the snow fall down, they get on the earth, they water it. It provides seed for the sower and bread for the eater. And man, life is good. And then he says, it is the same with my word. If you will send out my word. if you will send out my word, it will not return to you void, but it will accomplish all that you sent it to do. And you will have joy and you will have peace, and the sticky situations will be made a blessing in your life. Not that the sticky situations stay there. He says, where there once was briars, now there's going to be a myrtle tree. Come on. Where there once was this bad situation, now good stuff is going to come into your life. Why? Because you're looking at the Word of God. You're sending out the Word of God. It's bringing joy. It's bringing peace into your life. And the tough stuff in your life is going to begin to change. Amen. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, so let's on to the homework, okay? I'm done with my message. On to the homework, okay? You ready? I'm just going to read through these, and he's probably going to put them up on the screen. But I would encourage you to write these down. Go look them up. And this is what I encourage people to do Thursday night at our service is because Thursday night we were talking about establishing our hearts on the Word of God. And this you also, what I'm giving you does the same thing, right? So we're talking about doing that and getting joy and peace in your life. So I'm going to give you some scriptures. And what I want to challenge you to do is every morning, get up, take one of these verses, not all of them. Don't overwhelm yourself. Don't get super spiritual gung-ho on me. Come on. Be disciplined. Take just one verse. Take one of these verses and you say, you know, all right, I'm going to put this on a post-it note. I'm going to put it on the home screen of my phone. I'm going to put it somewhere where I'm going to see it throughout the day. And I'm going to meditate. I'm going to ponder. The word meditate means to ponder over and over and over, to think about over. And you know, people say, well, I don't have time to do all that. You do it every day. You worry about something. That's meditation in the wrong direction. I said this Thursday night, that meditation is painting an image in your heart and in your mind of what your life will be like. But what you meditate on is determining what your life will be like. Right? So if we want our life filled with good stuff, why don't we begin to meditate on good stuff? And like I said, worry is meditating on the wrong stuff. See, we're worried about, the enemy gives you this thought. Well, where are you going to get the money to pay this bill? What's going to happen in my relationship here? What's going to happen with my kids there? What's going to happen here? And we get these thoughts, and then we start thinking about worrying about those things all out throughout the day and throughout the week. But what if instead of doing that, we said, devil, shut up. I'm going to meditate on this word today. And then as you're doing that, it's building joy in you. It's building peace in you. It's building the life of God in you. It's helping you to get established on the Word of God. Your joy is growing. And then before you know it, something's going to happen. And you're not going to respond the way you always responded to it. You're going to go, you know what? God's got this. And you're going to start declaring the Word of God over it. What are you doing? You're going to send out the Word. And it will accomplish that which you sent it to do. Amen? So here they are real quickly. So what am I saying? Joy is developed by speaking the word, right? So here we go. Here's your assignment. Scripture number one, Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. I'm just going to read the very last seven words or so. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Last eight words of that verse. And it is simply this. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, you can go back and read the first part of the verse. I don't care. But this is what I want you to meditate on throughout the day. The joy of the Lord is my strength. When you come to a place where you feel frustration building about one thing or the other, or you feel like this isn't working or that, whatever, you know, and pressures come, remember, push that to the side and look at that verse again. No, the joy of the Lord is my strength. When you're feeling weak about this, weak about that, whatever, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I want you to meditate on that all day long, right? The Bible tells us in Joshua 1:8 to meditate day and night, to study this word of instruction continually, to meditate day and night upon the scriptures. Then, only then will your way be made prosperous, and only then will you have good success. Amen? All right? So Nehemiah 8:10, I'm just reading out of the New King James. I think it says the same thing in New Living as well. But the joy of the Lord is my strength. Scripture number two, Psalm 27, verse 1. New King James says it this way. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Right? The Lord is the strength of my life. So you guys have heard me say that. Now you know where I get it. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Amen. Take that one on the next day, I don't care what order you do these. There's no magic order that we're talking about here. We're just talking about taking a scripture from the Bible and one that really speaks to you and encourages you, and meditate on that, ponder on that throughout the day, right? So one day you can do Nehemiah 8:10, another day you can do Psalm 27:1. The Lord is the light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The next scripture, Psalm 91, verse 2, New King James, says, I will say of the Lord, he is, I quote this one often, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, he is my fortress, he is my God, in him will I trust. Hallelujah, glory to God. The next one, I think I only gave you five, I did. Okay, so the fourth one is Ephesians chapter 3. Oh, this is a good one. Now this one, you could split this one up over a couple of days if you wanted, because I actually kind of slid two verses in here. But listen to this. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17 in the New Living Translation says this, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. Well, that's a good one right there. Verse 17 says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Amen. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Or you can just read that in the morning and just you know, find parts of it that you just want to confess and speak over yourself and speak out and pray out throughout the day. Amen. And last one is Psalm 5, which is we've already looked at this morning, but I wanted to throw this one in there. Psalm 5, chapter 5, verses 11 and 12 in the New King James. It says, but let those who rejoice put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. That's a good one right there. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. And here's another one. You could do this one on a separate day if you wanted to. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you surround them with a shield. Come on, if you've given your life to Christ, you could say it like this. Father, I thank you, O Lord, that you bless me. With favor, you surround me as with a shield. Hallelujah. What if you begin to meditate and think about that all throughout the day instead of all the pressures from the enemy and the thoughts he tries to bring against you to get you to fear? Why does he do that? He wants to get you to saying that because he knows this principle works. So he's trying to give you his verses, and I'm trying to give you verses from the Word of God. He's trying to get you to think about and speak out the negative stuff. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, David said this. He says, I will speak no evil when the enemy is before me. Why do you think he said that? He says, I'm not going to say anything evil when the enemy is before me, because the enemy is sitting there ready to capture those negative words and begin to try to make those things manifest in your life. What if we robbed him of that opportunity? We've been robbing God of his opportunity to bless us for years because we've not been speaking the word. We've been speaking the thoughts that the enemy puts in our head. But what if we begin to starve him out and we begin to say, you know what, God, I'm just going to speak your word. I'm going to get me an arsenal of scriptures. And you're going to have an arsenal of scriptures before long, because I gave five on Wednesday night. I got five different today. You might get another five next Sunday, you know, or another five the next Sunday. I am committed to 2018 and helping you to get your heart established on the word of God and to see the word of God manifesting in your life. Amen. So come on, what if we begin to take this and we begin to speak the words of God instead of the words of the enemy, or the words of fear, or the words of doubt, or the words of unbelief, or the words of whatever doctors say and whatever society says? Forget that. Come on, we're going to give ourselves to the Lord this year. Amen? This help anybody today? Go ahead and stand up on your feet. Glory to God. God is so good.